Inshallah, brothers are requested to move forward, keeping in mind those who are still performing the sunnah and nawafil. Inshallah, very quickly, I want to introduce Sheikh Yunus Dudwala. Many brothers, especially the elderly brothers, may know Sheikh Yunus was an imam at Seven Kings Mosque for a few years, 1998, 99, 2000, and maybe two more years he was an imam there. So the elderly brothers probably are still aware and are familiar with him. Sheikh is head of chaplaincy of Bart's Hospital for many, many years. He's been serving as a lead imam. And alhamdulillah, since a few years, Sheikh Yunus is also teaching one of the books of Sihai Sitta, I think it's Bukhari Sharif. And as usually, Sheikh also gives regular bayans in Ramadan, outside Ramadan, up and down the country. So alhamdulillah, we are very fortunate that Sheikh has accepted our invitation. Someone with lots of experience, in meeting and always in contact with youngsters, trying to help solve issues. So inshallah, without further ado, I would like to invite Sheikh Yunus Dudwala to inshallah enlighten us with his words of wisdom in regards to this very important topic, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تذهب الدنيا حتى يملك العرب رجل من أهل بيتي يواطئ اسمه اسمي. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام هو يملأ الأرض قسطا وعدلا كما مليت ظلما وجورا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الملحمة العظمى وفتح القسطنطينية وخروج الدجال في سبعة أشهر وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن أشد الناس في الدنيا فتنة الدجال صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama, huffaz, elders, brothers, sisters listening at home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As Maulana Shaukat Sahib has mentioned, this is one of the topics which many people discuss today in terms of the end times and looking at what's happening around the world many will be thinking that we are nearing the end times. Many will be thinking that we are close to the end times. And when we talk about the end times, there are at least the main three figures that come in people's minds, and that's what we're going to discuss today. Imam Mahdi, Dajjal, and the return of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Mahdi, Dajjal, and the return of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And when we look at our religion, Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a prophet. And a prophet prophesizes. He tells us what's going to happen in the future. That is what one of the jobs of the prophet. And he mentioned lots of different things that will happen in the future. Some of those things have already happened, and some of them are yet to happen. Out of those that he said will happen is the Khilafah lasting 30 years. The Khilafatul Rashidun, the rightly guided Khilafah lasting 30 years. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this in the Hadith. And it so happened that the Khilafah of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu lasted for approximately 30 years. There are many. There's another hadith where one of the female companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wakes up and is smiling, she asks that, "Why are you smiling?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that, "I see that my ummah and my people are traveling on the sea for jihad." And this was not familiar at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because all the jihad that happened at the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the land. Then he fell asleep again, and then he woke up again, and then she asked that, what is it? He said, my people have conquered Constantinople, or they are going to conquer Constantinople, and they are going by sea. And she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Prophet of Allah, make dua that I am one of them." And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua that you will be on that expedition and that jihad that goes on the sea. And it turned out that she went on to that expedition. They didn't conquer Constantinople at that time, but she was on that mission. And there are many other. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is on the Mount of Uhud, and the Mount of Uhud is shaking. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he hits his foot on Uhud, and he says, "Stop shaking, because upon you is a Nabi and two Shaheed." And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's many, many ahadith which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesized events that were going to happen. And some are known as small signs of the Day of Judgment, and some are regarded as the big signs of the Day of Judgment. Some of the small signs we have already seen. For example, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that immorality will spread, indecency will spread, and we see that in abundance everywhere. There is not one home that is immune from the immorality and indecency that is happening, unfortunately, around the world today. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Amana will be taken away, and dishonesty will spread." And we see dishonesty spreading everywhere. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Watakthur az-zalazil," the earthquakes and natural disasters will increase. What do we see today? We saw two hurricanes hit America recently. We see floods in Europe. We see weather changes that are happening to a level which we've never seen before. This is Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that when you get near the day of judgment, these things will increase. وَيَكْثُرْ الْهَرْجِ Killings will increase. Killings. And we don't have to look further than Gaza and other places where killings are increasing for no reason. Then there was an amazing hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that barefooted people will compete with each other in building tall buildings. Now just imagine the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the desert in the 7th century is saying that barefooted people will compete with each other to build tall buildings. And then we see the oil that came out in the sands of Arabia, where there were barefooted people, and now they are vying with each other in building the tallest building, whether it's going to be in Mecca or whether it's going to be in Dubai. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's many other signs, small signs, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. And the big signs, there are 10 signs which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned 10 major signs that will occur before the day of judgment. And it's reported by Hudhayfa ibn Usayd al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And these 10 signs are the major signs. And according to this hadith, they will happen in quick succession. So although we might say that none of these signs have happened yet, when one happens, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it as beads falling of a necklace, one after the other. And these 10 signs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, first he mentioned that there'll be a smoke, a dukhan, a great cloud of smoke which will cover the earth, causing widespread distress and affecting the believers and non-believers alike. And according to majority of the scholars, this hasn't happened yet. Ibn Kathir, Imam Al-Qurtubi, and other scholars say this has not happened yet. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned Dajjal, and we know that Dajjal has not come yet. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions there will be a beast that will emerge from the earth and speak to the people. Dabbatul Ard. And again, when it will speak to the people, it will mark those who are believers and those who are non-believers. But again, this hasn't happened. None of these have happened yet. The rising of the sun from the west. And this most probably will happen on the Day of Judgment. The return of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya'juj, Ma'juj. Then three major landslides, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the Arabian Peninsula, destroying vast regions of the earth. Then you have a fire from Yemen. Then you have another smoke, another mention of the smoke and the cloud which will cover most of the world and will cause distress to all those who are living at that time. And then the final sign of the Day of Judgment will be the final trumpet, which will be blown for the Day of Judgment. So these are the 10 major signs of the Day of Judgment. Now Imam Mahdi was not mentioned in these 10 major signs. And there is quite a bit of debate regarding Imam Mahdi. However, and the debate happens because there are some schools who say that the Imam Mahdi and the ahadith on Imam Mahdi are so weak that we don't believe in them. So there are some individuals who don't believe in Imam Mahdi. There are some individuals who say their concept of Imam Mahdi is different. For example, the Rawafid and the Shia, their concept of Imam Mahdi is totally different to the Sunni Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And then you've got people who came previously who claim to be Imam Mahdi. Okay, so you've got Mahdawis that came in India about 150 years ago. Then 200 years ago. Then you had Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. He came And he claimed to be Mahdi, he claimed to be Isa, he claimed to be a prophet, he claimed to be Maryam, he claimed to be a lot of different things. Okay? But when we look at the different books of hadith, yes, there is no direct mention of Imam Mahdi in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. There is indirect mention of Imam Mahdi in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. But in other books, there are approximately 70 plus hadith which mention Imam Mahdi. And out of Imam Mahdi, Dajjal, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Mahdi is the one who will come first. Imam Mahdi is the one who will come first. So who is Imam Mahdi? Imam Mahdi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has described him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the world will not pass until a man from my family, from Ahlul Bayt, will rule the Arabs. And his name will be the same as mine. So this hadith is reported by Imam Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud. So in this hadith, we find that Imam Mahdi will lead the Arabs, number one. Number two, it's mentioned that he will be from the family, meaning the lineage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His father will be from Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu's lineage. His mother will be from Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu's lineage. So both the mother and the father will be from the Ahlul Bayt. And his name will be Muhammad. Then it is mentioned that his father's name will be Abdullah, just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father's name. His mother's name will be Amina, just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mother's name. So there is very clear description given in the hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that who Imam Mahdi will be. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that yamla'u al-ardha qistan wa adlan kama muli'at dhulman wa jura. What will he be coming for? He, the Mahdi, will fill the earth with justice and fairness as it was filled with oppression and injustice. So what that indicates is that before Imam Mahdi takes over the leadership of the Muslims, there will be oppression, there will be injustice. Then, in another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives his description, his physical description. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the Mahdi is from me, al-Mahdiyu minni. The Mahdi is from me, meaning he's from my family. Ajlal jabhati. He will have a broad forehead. He will have a broad forehead. And a prominent nose. يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِئَ الظُّلْمًا وَجُورًا. And again, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this hadith that he will fill the earth with fairness and justice as it was filled with oppression and tyranny. And how long will he rule? يَمْلِكْ سَبْعِينَ سِنِينَ. He will rule for 7 years. So now we've got a description, his physical description, we know his family, we know his name, and we know how long he's going to rule over the Muslims at that particular time for 7 years. In another hadith reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, يَخْرُجُ الْمَهْدِيُ عَلَىٰ إِخْتِلَافٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ وَزَلَازِلْ فَيَمْلَأَهَا قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِيَ الظُّلْمَ وَجُورًا. The Mahdi will appear at a time of great differences and many, many earthquakes. So there'll be many earthquakes, there'll be lots of oppression, there'll be lots of injustices, many differences, and he will fill the earth with justice and fairness as it was filled with oppression and tyranny. Now, when will he come? When we see so much oppression, when we see so much tyranny, when we see so much chaos in the world, many of the Muslims always think that now is the time for Dajjal. Now is the time for Imam Mahdi. And it's very possible. We can't pinpoint the particular time. But what we do know is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes it, and when we look at the different hadith, we know that he will be born in Medina Munawwara. So there are many Mahdis that sometimes pop up in masjids around the world. Sometimes in Africa, sometimes in Asia. Recently in Mumbai, there was somebody who claimed to be Mahdi, and he became quite famous last year or the year before. And people are so gullible, knowing that Imam Mahdi will be born in Medina Munawwara. His name will be Muhammad. His father's name will be Abdullah. And he will be from the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know all these facts. And one of the most important facts about Imam Mahdi is that he will never ever claim to be Imam Mahdi. He will never claim to be Imam Mahdi. If someone comes to you and says, I'm Imam Mahdi, that is a sign that he is lying. That's the first sign that he is a liar. Why? Imam Mahdi will never ever claim that he's Imam Mahdi. In fact, when people will approach him, that you are the Mahdi, people, he will say, no, it's not me. He will refuse. And he will try and move away. So, in terms of his recognition, it is mentioned that he will be recognized after he has reached the age of 40. So anyone who is less than the age of 40 cannot be Imam Mahdi. Then, and the other point about Qadiani, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani never went for Hajj. He never even saw the Holy Lands. And he claimed to be a prophet. He claimed to be a prophet. And he wasn't born in Medina, he was born in Qadian, in Asia. So, in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that the head of the Muslims will die. And this will be in Medina Munawwara. And now Imam Mahdi, having all the qualities of people knowing, people will not know that he's Imam Mahdi, but he will be a good person. He will be a clever person. He will be a pious person. He will be someone who people will be looking at that maybe he should take over as the next leader. So Imam Mahdi, thinking that these people will force me to become the leader, he will get on a plane and he will go to Makkah Mukarramah. So from Medina Munawwara he will leave. And he will go to Medina Munawwara. Now whilst he is doing tawaf during Umrah or Hajj, whilst he is doing tawaf, it mentions in the hadith that the Abdal of the time. Now Abdal is a terminology which is used for those people who are the greatest saints of that particular era. So, and the ulama mentioned that at any one time in the world there are 40 Abdal, 40. And these are the 40 most pious people in the world. And they will be sitting near the Kaaba. And they will see Imam Mahdi performing tawaf. And whilst he is performing tawaf, they will realize that this is Imam Mahdi. So the Abdals will start talking to each other. That, do you see? And obviously, because they're pious, they will be able to see something that you and I cannot see. They will be able to see the nur and the light which is emanating from Imam Mahdi, which normal people will not be able to see. So whilst they are conversing with each other and they say, yes, I think this is Imam Mahdi, Imam Mahdi will have finished his tawaf and Imam Mahdi will have finished his sa'i and he's gone. Imam Mahdi is gone. So then they start looking for him in Makkah Mukarramah. And they find Imam Mahdi in Makkah Mukarramah and they say to him that you are Imam Mahdi and we want to do bay'ah to you. And whilst he is denying and whilst he is trying to push them away, eventually he has to agree and they will do bay'ah to Imam Mahdi. And then they will bring him near the Kaaba. And the announcement will be made that Imam Mahdi has appeared. And because Imam Mahdi has been appeared, we have done bay'ah to Imam Mahdi. So there's quite a few people who will join, but not everyone will join. Not everyone will join. It is mentioned that just like the similar number of the Battle of Badr, 313, similar number will join Imam Mahdi only. 313. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us part of that if we are there. Only some people want to be there. Only few people said Ameen. Your congregation doesn't want to be with him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who join Imam Mahdi if he's there and we are there. It will be very, very serious. Because at that time when people hear that Imam Mahdi has come out, there will be huge enemies against Imam Mahdi. Huge enemies. And in fact, the hadith mentions that there will be an army that will come out from near Syria and Jordan to go and fight Imam Mahdi. And they will be coming towards Makkah Mukarramah. And the army is going to be huge. But when they reach, it's coming from Syria. And when they reach the desert in Arabia, between Makkah and Medina, and in one hadith it mentions Dhul Hulayfa, where we wear the ihram from Medina Munawwara. When they reach that area, there will be front of the army, there will be the back of the army, and there will be a middle of the army. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the earth, and the middle of the army will be swallowed into the earth. The front of the army will stop, the back of the army will stop, and they'll start communicating with each other. Have you seen what's happened to the battalion behind you? Have you seen what's happened to the battalion in front of you? And whilst they are conversing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the earth, and the front of the army will also be taken, swallowed up into the earth, and the back of the army will also be taken up into the earth. When this incident happens, everyone will realize that Imam Mahdi has definitely come out, and people from around the world, Muslims from around the world, will all start flying in to join Imam Mahdi. Imam Mahdi's army. Now, Imam Mahdi has come, and he is the leader. And now he will start taking over different lands, and to bring them into justice. And wherever he goes, he will gain victory. He will even go to Medina Munawwara, and he will bow himself in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and give salam, and then he'll continue. And then the ahadith mention that he will go to different places. One of the biggest wars that is going to happen at the time of Imam Mahdi. And the hadith mentions Al-Malhamatul Kubra or Malhamatun Azima. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the last hour will not come until there is a great war. And this great war is between the Banul Asfar and a Muslim army. Now, here it doesn't mention that this Muslim army is under Imam Mahdi. But if you look at the timeline, it's very clear that this Muslim army will be under the stewardship of Imam Mahdi. And the hadith mentions that the Banul Asfar will come to A'maq or Dabiq, and against an army consisting of the best of people in the earth at that time, and they will come from Medina to fight them. And when the lines are drawn up, the Byzantines, meaning the Western army, and here it says Banul Asfar. Banul Asfar is yellow complexion, and it's usually talking about either the Romans or it's talking about the Western people. So it will be a fight against non-Muslims and Muslims, and Imam Mahdi will be the Amir, and he will take this army and they will fight against the Byzantines. And this will be a very, very severe fight. It so happened that only yesterday in the Sabak of Mishkat, this hadith came. And in there it mentioned that they will fight for 3 days, initially, 3 days. And the fight will be that there will be part of the army will be sent that you go and fight today. And they will go and they will have a severe fight all the way, and nothing will stop them except the darkness of the night that has fallen, and only because of that they will stop. And both of them will not win, but majority of those people who went to fight will die. The next day, same will happen. The next day, same will happen. 3 days continuously, so many Muslims will die in that battle. And then the fourth day is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant victory to the Muslims in this al-malhamatul azimah, this great war that will happen at the time of Imam Mahdi. Then Imam Mahdi will continue and he will go to Rome and will take over Rome. Then he will go to Constantinople. So again, from that hadith it mentions that we will take over Constantinople. And in one hadith it mentions that there will be no fighting. All there will be is the army and the leader will say, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, and the walls will fall. The next day he'll say, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, and the walls will fall. The next day, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, and the walls will fall. So Constantinople will also be conquered. What that means is that Constantinople and Turkey will be non-Muslim at that time. At the moment, it's under Muslim rule. So that shows that maybe Imam Mahdi's time is not yet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then they will be collecting the booty. And they will be collecting the spoils of war. In fact, the hadith that I mentioned about the great war that happened and the victory happened on the fourth day, in that hadith it is mentioned that out of every 100 people of one family, 99 will die. Only one will be left. And in that hadith it mentions, what is the point of having inheritance when there is nobody to take the inheritance? The hadith mentions this. Anyway, whilst they are in Constantinople, Shaitan, the hadith mentions, Shaitan will make a noise. And Shaitan will make an announcement. And Shaitan will say, Dajjal has appeared. Dajjal has appeared. So whilst they are collecting the spoils of war in Constantinople, this announcement will be made by Shaitan that Dajjal has appeared. And it will be a false announcement. But all the people will be ready to go towards Syria, go towards Palestine, and go and confront Dajjal. And there will be 10 riders. The hadith mentioned, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, 10 riders will be sent to the front. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, these will be the best riders on the earth at that time. And I can tell you their names, I can tell you their father's names, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. But when these 10 reach their destination, they will realize that Dajjal has not appeared yet. But the army of Imam Mahdi will go towards Syria and Jordan and Palestine, Sham. Sham, when it talks about Sham, Sham covers all of that area. It's not only Syria, but Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, all of that area, and Palestine is called Sham. Imam Mahdi will then stay with his army and he'll go to place, establishing justice, and then Dajjal will appear. Dajjal will appear. So during those 7 years that Imam Mahdi is going to stay on this earth, that is when Dajjal will appear. How will he appear? How many days will he appear? What does he look like? So there's quite a few narrations regarding Dajjal. But one of the things that is mentioned in the hadith, that al-malhamatul uzma, this great war, wa fathul Qustantiniyah, and the conquest of Constantinople, wa khurujud Dajjal, and the appearance of Dajjal, will all happen within a space of 7 months. So remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these fitnas will be like beads coming off a necklace, one by one. So Imam Mahdi, although that was a false call, that Imam Mahdi has appeared, but he will appear very, very quickly after the conquest of Constantinople, within 7 months. And Dajjal is one of the, if not the greatest fitna that is going to happen to this ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every single prophet who came, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, every single prophet who came, they warned about Dajjal. And I am warning you about the Dajjal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And there is no prophet who came except that he warned about Dajjal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not blind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have one eye. And this Dajjal, he has one eye. He has one eye. He is one-eyed, whereas Allah is not. Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in another hadith, ما بين خلق آدم إلى قيام الساعة خلق أعظم من الدجال. That from the time of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until the day of judgment, there is no creation greater in trial than the Dajjal. Greatest fitna, greatest trial, greatest tribulation is going to be Dajjal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him that he will have curly hair. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described that he will be short and stocky. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he will have lots of hair. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he will have, they call him Masih Dajjal. Why do they call him Masih Dajjal? Because Masih means to wipe. And because one of his eyes will be white, and the other one will be protruded like a grape. So he'll only have one eye, and even that will be a deformed eye. And he will look with one eye. And he will walk where his feet will not be together. His legs will not be straight. They will be a little bit bent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him when he, when Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a Christian who became Muslim, he encountered Dajjal when he went on a ship, and then the ship was in a storm, and then he went in a small boat, and then he ended up in an island, and then he encountered Dajjal. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accepted Islam, and he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I saw this beast and it was talking to us and he was asking about you. But he was chained at that particular time. But when the time will come, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will release him and he will come into this earth. How long will he stay? He will stay for 40 days. How will he travel? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he will travel on a donkey that will be 40 feet. Its ears will be 40 feet. Now, there's no donkey that has ears that are 40 feet. But now you might understand that maybe he's traveling on an aeroplane which has wings which are 40 feet. Yeah? And how fast will he travel? He'll travel as fast as a cloud travels in the wind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And he will cover the whole of the earth within 40 days. He will cover the whole of the earth within 40 days. And he will say that I am your Lord. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him powers. And powers that people will think, yes, he is God. And people will follow him. And in one hadith it mentions that he will come out from Asfahan. And 70,000 Jews. Sorry, he'll come out from Khurasan. And 70,000 Jews from Asfahan will follow him and will be part of his army. And Asfahan is in Iran, and the second most populated area of Jews within Middle East after Israel is Iran. It's Iran. They say it's got about 8,000 Jews there. But here it mentions that 70,000 Jews will become part of his army. And Allah will give him so much power that he will have nahrun wa narun, that he will have a kind of river. And he will have fire. And when somebody comes to him and says that I don't believe in you, or he will say, jump into the fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, if he says jump into the fire, then you should jump into the fire. And if he says jump into the water, don't jump into the water. Because where he says it's water, that will be fire. And where he says it's fire, that will be water. Deception. Dajjal. The word Dajjal means deception. portraying a picture which is not true. We live in a Dajjali time. We live in a time of deception. Yeah, we live in a time of deception. We live in a time where this artificial intelligence can do anything and you feel that it's real. They can make a video of myself saying something which I don't say with my voice and you will think it's me saying it. How many times have you seen a video of Sadiq Khan saying something when it's not him? Because they've put artificial intelligence. I've seen videos of Barack Obama saying something but it's not him. Why? Because it's artificial intelligence. So we live in a time which is a Dajjali time, but it's not Dajjal itself. Because we, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, say that Dajjal is a physical being. There are some people who study this Islamic eschatology. Eschatology is looking at the times of the end times. And you've got Christian eschatology, you've got Jewish eschatology, and they all believe in some kind of Messiah coming at the end. Christians believe, you see, we find that evangelical Christians at the moment, they support Israel. They support Israel. They support Israel for their own reasons. You've got the Jewish who believe in something happening and a Messiah coming, but they have a different Messiah. So you've got Masih al-Dajjal, and you've got Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who's also a Masih. And the Christians believe that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is going to return. And because they want him to return, they believe that the Jews have to build the temple of Solomon first before Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam comes. And that's why they support Israel, because they want the temple to be built. So that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam comes and then he kills all the Jews and then everyone becomes Christian. So they're supporting the Israelis and the Jews so that they can be killed by Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and his army. On the other hand, the Jews believe, according to their eschatology, that there will be a Messiah. There will be a Masih. But he will not... Their concept of the Messiah is not like Dajjal. They feel that it will be a Jewish leader. And that Jewish leader will build a temple. That's why you see some Jews who don't support Israel, and you see them on the marches, they say that these current Jews have taken over Israel without the Messiah coming. They should not be there because there's no Messiah. Until the Messiah comes, you can't take over people's land. That's what they say. So they are waiting for the Messiah. But all Jews believe, whether it's the Jews who don't support Israel and the Jews that support Israel, all of them believe that there will be a temple built where Masjid al-Aqsa is, Solomon's temple. And then their Messiah will lead them to greatness, and there'll be a greater Israel. Now, if you look at the Quran and Hadith, there's nothing to say that that will not happen. There's nothing to say that Masjid al-Aqsa will not be broken again, will not be demolished again. There's nothing to say that the Jews will not take over that land and build the temple of Solomon. There's nothing to say that the plan of many of the Jews, Netanyahu and Smotrich and Ben-Gavir, to make a greater Israel that goes up to the outskirts of Medina Munawwara, there's nothing to say that will not happen. Whether it happens at our time or not, that depends on our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at Masjid al-Aqsa, Masjid al-Aqsa has always stayed with Muslims when the Muslims have behaved and when the Muslims have a connection with Allah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will protect Makkah Mukarrama and Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will protect Medina Munawwara and Masjid al-Nabwi. But He's never promised to protect Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa will depend on our behaviors. And if our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes weak, and our connection with unity of the Muslims becomes weak, then Masjid al-Aqsa is at threat, as we see today. As we see today. So the Jewish eschatology says that they will build the Temple of Solomon. The Christian eschatology, they support the Israelis so that they can build a temple Because their history and their Bible says that then Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend and then Christians will take over. Whereas Muslims say that when Imam Mahdi comes and Dajjal comes, he is the Masihud Dajjal, and Jews will follow him and Jews will be his army, and he will cause chaos around the world. Chaos around the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that power. And what does he say to the Muslims? He says to the Muslims, be careful and stay away from him. فَلْيَنْأَ عَنْهُ. The hadith words mention that a person, when he hears about Dajjal, he should stay away from him. Because if there is someone, and the Prophet ﷺ gives an example, that a person believes that I am a believer, and I can go and see him, and I can go and talk him out of this, he will go and he will fall into his trap. Even those who think that their iman is strong, they will fall into the trap of Dajjal. So stay away from him. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, go to the mountains and take shelter. Don't confront Dajjal. Don't confront Dajjal. His manipulation powers will be so great. We see it today. If AI is so strong, then just imagine the power of Dajjal. Just imagine the power of Dajjal. That Nahar, the river will be fire, and the fire will be a river. And then there will be one person who will be one of the most pious people on the earth at that time. And he will be brought in front of Dajjal. And then he will say to him that you are Dajjal and you are not. He said, do you believe that I am Lord? He said, no, I don't believe that you are Lord. He said, but what if I cut you in half? Or what if I cut this person in half? So he will cut a person in half right from the middle of the head all the way down. And then they will separate like this. They will separate like this. And then he'll bring them back together. And then he will say that now do you believe that I am Allah or I am your Lord? And he will say, now I am convinced that you are not my Lord because my Prophet ﷺ said that you will be able to do this. So there'll be one or two individuals who will be protected from Dajjal. He will have kafara on his head written. Kafara. And every believer will be able to see it. Every believer will be able to see it. Not believer. Every believer will be able to see it. Whether they can read Arabic or they can't read Arabic. Whether they can read English or they can't read. They will be able to see the kafara. And Dajjal will cause chaos around the world. He will be the biggest fitna ever. One person, he will come to him and say, do you believe that I am your Lord? He says, no. Then he will say, what if I bring your parents back to life? And then he will get, he said, can you do this? He says, yes. So he will get shayateen to take the complexion of his parents. And they will speak. And then this person will fall for his trap. So this is how Dajjal will spread chaos around the world. Chaos around the world. And eventually things will come to a head when Imam Mahdi and his army are in Baitul Muqaddas. Or whether there's two narrations. One, whether he was in Syria, where Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend. So there will be fights between the army of Dajjal and the Muslim armies. And Dajjal will be winning majority of these battles. And then Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come down. It will be the time of Fajr. Azan will have been said. The sunnah will have been done. And the people are now coming for Iqamah, coming forward for the Fajr Salah. And as the Iqamah is being said, Imam Mahdi comes forward to do the Imamah. He's going to become the Imam. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, with his hands on the angels, he will come down on the eastern white minaret in Damascus. That's how specific the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentions it, without going to Damascus, without there being a mosque in Damascus at that time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said he will come down with his, and his head will be dripping with water as if he will just have had a shower. His hair will be long and black. He will have a whitish complexion, and then a white reddish complexion, and he'll come down into the masjid. He'll walk into the masjid and people will hear that Imam Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is here. So they will stop, and then they will, Hazrat Imam Mahdi will come back and say to Imam Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, "You lead the prayer, you lead the prayer." And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will say, "No, the iqama was said for you, you lead the prayer. You lead the prayer." And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will pray the Fajr Salah behind Imam Mahdi. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will not come as a prophet. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come as an ummati of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Every Nabi, it is mentioned that every Nabi used to make dua that, "Oh Allah, make me from the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam." And only Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's dua was accepted. You and I, we didn't make any dua, and we are part of the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We are very, very fortunate. Then Imam Mahdi and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will get together. They will lead the army. And the only reason why Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has been sent is because only Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be able to kill Dajjal. And then they will confront the army of Dajjal. And when Dajjal sees Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he will run. Because he will realize that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is there. And Imam Mahdi's army will start to trample the army of Dajjal. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will chase Dajjal where? Up to Bab el-Lud. The hadith mentions Bab el-Lud. And when you go to Israel now, and near the airport, there is a place called Lud. There is a place called Lud. This wasn't there at that time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentions that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will kill Dajjal at Bab el-Lud, at the gate of Lud. And then he will show everybody the blood of Dajjal, and then the army will keep on fighting until even the trees and the stones will mention that there is an enemy behind me, and the Muslim will kill those enemies until everyone will be wiped out, and peace will prevail over that particular area. Peace will prevail over that particular area. And then we don't know when Imam Mahdi will die, but Imam Mahdi, remember, will only rule for 7 years. Then Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will remain. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will then start ruling all over the world, and he will go all around the world. And he will marry, he will have children, and he will live for 40 years, another 40 years. And the whole world will become Muslim at the time. Pigs will no longer remain. The cross will no longer remain. And every single person will become Muslim until when Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam passes away. According to majority of the narrations, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be buried next to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam in Madinah Munawwarah. In Madinah Munawwarah. And then slowly, slowly after that, the fitnas will start again. So everybody will be Muslim at one particular time after Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has ruled over the world. And then after he goes, then slowly, slowly one person will turn away from Islam, another one will be turning away from Islam. But now the turning away from Islam will happen very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. Lots of people will turn away from Islam until the Day of Judgment. And then all of these signs which we mentioned will come. Now, that's a brief, I mean, I've been speaking for nearly an hour, and that's just the brief of Imam Mahdi, Dajjal, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The question to you and I, and you know, we become fascinated, all of us become fascinated with the end times. You know, when you see a poster, "Oh, there's going to be a bayan on end times." If there's a bayan on salah, then nobody will be here. There's a bayan on zakat and hajj, nobody will be here. But when it comes to the end times, everyone comes. Yeah, we're all fascinated by what's happening and what the end times looks like. But in reality, and this has always been my position, that you know, a lot of our youngsters, when it comes to the end times and they see what's going on in Gaza, and when they see what's going on in Lebanon, and when they're playing COD and they're playing Fortnite, they think they're in the battle. Yeah? And sometimes they think that, yeah, you know, when Dajjal comes, I'll be in the army of Imam Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam. Yeah? They get carried away, right? But in reality, you know, this is not the reality. The reality for you and I, one person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam And he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when is the day of judgment? When is the day of judgment? So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He didn't start counting down the 10 signs of the day of judgment, that these things will happen before the day of judgment. He didn't count down the minor signs. He didn't count down the major signs. He didn't say that when Dajjal comes, Imam Mahdi comes, and Isa alayhi salatu wasallam. He didn't say this. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, what have you prepared for the day of judgment? What have you prepared? And the reality for you and I is, what have we prepared? Because my day of judgment and your day of judgment is not when Imam Mahdi comes, is not when Dajjal comes, is not when Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam comes, it's when the angel of death comes. And the angel of death can come at any time. Any time. And where's our preparation? Where's our preparation? How many deaths have we heard about this week? How many deaths have we seen this week? Some of you may have seen a horrific accident in Newham this week, where a car came at such speed that it hit someone and she flew 15 meters. An 18-year-old Muslim girl who went to college, came home, was coming home, and she got hit. She flew 15 meters. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. There wasn't a mark on her. I asked the funeral directors. Alhamdulillah. But look at this. Who would have imagined, her father, her mother, herself, her family, that she will no longer come home after she's left home? Then many of our youngsters, I get a message that this person is a famous singer, he's died. I don't even know who he is. Liam Payne. Acha, Liam. Huh. So Liam Payne. Liam Payne. And, you know, everyone who's... We talk about this Dajjali system. The Dajjali system is that you see something and it looks real. But in reality, behind it, it's not real. And all these reality TV shows are the same. Are the same. Recently, you might have seen a trial going on, or it wasn't a trial, it was a coroner's inquest into the death of a person who was on the Jeremy Kyle show. And what happened to him? He took his own life, bichara, because of what was happening in the background of that particular show. He took his life. This person, Liam Payne, he became famous at the age of 16. And he went into a band, and everyone who's looking at him, he's got fans, he's got fame, he's got name, he's got everything, he's got followers. And for so many years, he's traveling around the world and everyone is envying him. That I want to be like him, I want to be like him, I want to be like him, I want to be with him. But behind all the facade, behind him, when you ask him his life, I'm fed up. I can't take this anymore. And eventually takes drugs and takes alcohol and he falls off a balcony, bichara. Because everything is not reality today. Everything is a facade. We are being shown something which is not reality. And you ask people who work in big companies. You look at what's happening in Gaza today. And when Israel is presenting it, it will say it is self-defense. When in reality it's not self-defense. He will say that they are the people of darkness and we are the people of light, when it's the other way around. And America will keep on pushing their agenda. You have marketing companies at every single big corporations who will market everything. Even something which is rubbish will be marketed in a certain way. You have PR companies who are working for the biggest companies of the world so that the public relations is managed. It doesn't matter what's going on in the background and what's reality, you have to show that it's happening. Everything is very nice. Everything is very nice. And that's the reality of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you and I iman. And after giving you and I iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the reality that this world is delusional. Yeah, is delusional. This is just mata'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is just a show. إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَعِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَتَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. You see all these crops growing and then one day it's gone. Similarly, this everything in this world is nothing. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you is your heart. And Allah wants your connection. So you can talk about Imam Mahdi and you can talk about Dajjal and you can talk about Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and you can pretend you are fighting in the battlefield when you're playing COD and you're playing Fortnite. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants you to prepare for your death. For your time to meet Him. For your time to meet Him. And that's why when we hear about Dajjal and he being the biggest fitna, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say we have to do? We have to read Surah Kahf every Friday. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when Dajjal comes, then at least memorize the first 10 ayahs of Surah Kahf. And you read the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf. And in some narrations it mentions the last 10 verses. Why? Because Surah Kahf tells us about the delusion when the people went into the cave. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them to sleep for 309 years. Right? 309 years they slept. And everyone thinks that it's not possible, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am the power. I am the power. Take refuge. Those youngsters took refuge in the masjid, in the cave. We have to take refuge in the masjid. All of this Dajjali fitna is around us. We have to take refuge. We have to learn the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf. Take some action. Take some action. And there's one hadith which our ustad and teacher Mawlana Bilal Sahib stresses so much. He says that one hadith mentions that in your salah, you should make a dua after Durood Sharif. You know, we pray At-Tahiyyatu Lillahi Was-Salawatu. After that, we pray Durood Sharif, Allahumma Salli Ala Muhammad. Then we pray Allahumma Inni Zalamtu Nafsi Zulman Kathira Wala Yaghfiru Dhunuba Illa Anta Faghfirli Maghfirata Min Indika Warhamni Innaka Antal Ghafurur Rahim. This is a dua which many of us learnt. But besides that, in one hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, ask Allah's protection from four things in your salah. Ask Allah's protection from four things in your salah. And in there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, four things that you should read in your salah before doing salam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr, wa min adhab al-nar, wa min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat, wa min fitnat al-masih al-dajjal. Four things that you should make ask Allah's protection from in every salah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr, from the adhab al-qabr. Wa min adhab al-nar, from the adhab and the punishment of Jahannam. Wa min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat, from the fitna of life and death. From the trials of life and death. وَمِن فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ, from the fitna and the trial of Masih al-Dajjal. Four things that we should. So, yes, we get fascinated by the end times. But the reality is, our end time can be at any time. And we have to be prepared for the end time. We have to be prepared for the end time. And to be prepared for the end time, always perform your 5 times salah. Always perform your 5 times salah. Take refuge in the masjid regularly. And every night make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of your sins. So that if tomorrow you go, you've made tawbah before that. Imam Mahdi will come. And that is our aqidah. Dajjal will come, that is our aqidah. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come, that is our aqidah. And the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is happening. And if Allah wanted to change it now, He can change it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you and I the questions that you and I ask. That what are the leaders of the Arab, what are the Arab leaders doing? And what is our government doing? Yes, we should put pressure as much as we can. But on the day of judgment, Allah will not ask you, what did the leaders, Arab leaders do? Allah will not ask you, what did the Western leaders do? Allah will ask you and I, what did you do? What did I do? And whatever we can do within our capacity, within the realms of the law of this country, we should do. Whether it's writing to MPs, whether it's protesting, whether it's making dua. And that should be a must. That should be the minimum. Making dua every single day for our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And for the leaders, the Arab leaders, to wake up to the suffering of their brothers and sisters. And giving charity as much as we can. These are the things we can do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to learn from the lessons that we've heard today. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to prepare for our death. Because that is the most important. All these stories, they'll happen in their own time. But when we go, Allah will ask us about our story. And we have to make sure our story is something that we can stand up to in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh Yunus, for an inspiring talk. And especially towards the end of the talk where he says that our qiyamah will come when we die. So although these signs which Sheikh talked about in detail were the signs of qiyamah, but in actual fact, your qiyamah and my qiyamah is when we are going to die. And therefore it is very important that we start preparing for death. Obviously we don't know when death will come. So like Sheikh said, before we go to sleep, everyone must do istighfar. Everyone should seek. Everyone should do tawbah, repentance, and seek Allah's forgiveness before they go to sleep, because we don't know if we are going to wake up tomorrow morning as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us His love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us in His protection, in His mercy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to do those actions which will come with us and which will help us after we leave this temporary world. And I thank Sheikh Yunus from the bottom of our hearts on behalf of myself and the Masjid trustees for accepting our invitation. And we also hope that Sheikh will inshallah return again whenever we invite him inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك